Praise the Lord. Look with me in verse number 4. But thou, or you, I'm using modern English here, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Can somebody say the time of the end? Even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let's read it again. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. When will many run to and fro and knowledge be increased? As we're approaching the time of the time of the end. Shut up the book and seal it, Daniel, till the time of the end. Many are going to run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to us as we get into the Word of God. Open up our hearts, open up our spirits to receive from heaven. Lord, we need understanding. You said your people perish for a lack of knowledge. God, speak to us. Teach us your ways. Your Holy Spirit came to lead us into all the truth. Holy Spirit, I pray in these last days that you would break open the knowledge of God. Break open the knowledge of God. Open up the minds of people to see and hear the word of the living God. Reveal truth in these last days, Lord, that will bring back the miracles and the power of Jesus on a grand scale. And God, we give you the praise and the glory for it in the marvelous name of Jesus Christ. Could you say a good amen tonight? I always thought, guys, whenever I read that years ago, I always thought that, how many's ever heard that before? Knowledge is going to increase in the last days. Y'all ever heard that before? When this internet and all this stuff started coming out, I started thinking, there it is. You know, knowledge is increasing. Now, Buck said something, I believe in Sunday school or somewhere at the house or something. He talked about whatever happens in the natural is a picture of what's going to happen in the spiritual. I believe that. I've preached that for years. As a matter of fact, I believe if you study the life of Jesus, you'll see the life of the church. You'll see what's going to happen in the life of the church. You study the life of Jesus. For 30 years, he grew in wisdom and stature. There weren't any miracles taking place. Somebody say he grew in wisdom and stature. He was growing. He was growing up. He was learning things. God was training him and getting him ready for what God was going to do with him. For 30 years, the very Son of God did no miracles at all. I believe the church has a season, a long season, where not very many things happen. There's some things happening, trickles here and there, where some things are happening. But how many believes when Jesus said, these things and greater you will do? How many believes that's going to happen? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, these things and greater you might do? You might if you have enough faith, or you might if you believe, or you might and you might not. No, Jesus said, how many knows Jesus knew what was going to happen in the future? Y'all confident of that? Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. Who did he tell that to? These things and greater you shall do. His disciples, correct? He told that to those that were following him. These things I'm doing. He said, watch what I'm doing. These are the last 3.5 years of Jesus' life. For the first 30 years, was he casting out devils? No, it's not a trick question. Okay, y'all call quiet. Did Jesus cast out devils for the first 30 years of his life? No. Did Jesus heal the sick the first 30 years of his life? No. I know there's some people out there teaching that maybe when Jesus was a baby, you know, they didn't have to change his diaper. You know, he just snapped his fingers, had a new diaper on. But you know it's not true. You want to know why it's not true and how I know it's not true? The Bible said the first miracle he did, the first sign that he showed was where? When he turned the water into wine. The Bible was very clear. This was the first sign that he did, the first miracle he did to reveal his glory. So we know that Jesus was not walking around as a young man doing miracles for the family. I heard somebody say, wouldn't you have loved to have been Jesus' mother? When the food ran out in the cabinet, you just have Jesus go bless the cabinet. And the cabinet's... That didn't happen. It did not happen. The first miracle he did was 30 years after he'd been here. Now, how many knows God was in him from the time he was born? Amen? God was in him. He is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. He's Emmanuel. He was God with us just as much in that manger, just as much in there with those animals, as he was when John the Baptist baptized him and the Spirit rested on him like a dove, and he went out in the wilderness to be tempted and tried, and he came back and miracles began to break out. Things began to happen. So why did there need to be a 30-year span of time? Why did God need to send him here? As the natural goes, so goes the spiritual. I want y'all to get that. As the natural goes, so goes the... The natural things that God does are pictures of the spiritual things God's going to do. We are what? We are the body of what? Christ. The Bible said we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Y'all with me tonight? We are the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the body of Christ. We are the members of the body of Christ. If you want to see Jesus in the earth, it's the body of Christ. Well, people look at us and they say, well, they're not doing much. It's true. Not much is happening. I mean, we're seeing some miracles. I'm believing for more. Amen. Especially in these last days. We're seeing some miracles. But in comparison to Jesus, so many things were happening that he had worldwide fame because of what was taking place. Everybody knew about it. The word was spreading everywhere before he could ever get anywhere. Towns were waiting on him so that people could be healed. The Bible said every person, in many places he went, every person that touched him was healed. All of them. Nobody was left out. Now there were some places like his hometown where they said, we know who you are, man. You grew up around here, you know. And nobody was healed there because they didn't have the faith for that. They didn't believe because of who he was. They knew who he was too well. They're too familiar with him. But Jesus went all these years without these things happening. As the natural goes, so goes the spiritual. The very last portion of the life of Jesus on the earth was filled with the supernatural. Filled with the supernatural power of God. It began to break out everywhere. When Jesus went someplace, he didn't have to pray over a demon-possessed person for 3 hours. He just went and said, the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, to bring liberty to the captives. And people sitting out there began to go, oh, we know who you are. He said, come out, be quiet. Amen. And the demons were coming out of people. Amen. Jesus walking up on the shores. Y'all remember the demoniac, the guy that they called him Legion. He was full of demons. And the Bible said he ran around naked, cutting himself, living in caves and cutting his body. And he was crazy. When Jesus came to the shore, what did he do? He came running up to him. It's just crazy, man. It's like he came to get his marching orders. I don't know if I was you. If I was the devil, I think I would run away from Jesus. You know, Jesus was so powerful. You know why I think the demons ran up to him? Legion. Somebody say legion. This is a whole group of them. Maybe 1,000. I don't know. A bunch. A legion, I think, is 1,000 soldiers, if I'm not mistaken. This is a massive number of demons in one person. And here these demons are inhabiting this person, and Jesus is only coming into their territory. Amen? Excuse me. I didn't reach it. He's only coming into their territory. There was no indication that Jesus was on the way to their cave. Amen? You know what? I think Jesus was so big that when Jesus even got close to their territory, those demons knew his spirit covered a whole lot more than his footsteps did. And so when Jesus got close, instead of running from him, because you can't run from him, you can run but you can't hide, amen? Instead of running from him, they ran up to him. I mean, the power of God was so present. When we go into the world now, you know, most demon-possessed people don't come to church, amen? Every now and then one shows up here and there. We've had a few, hallelujah. I mean, we had one lady come to church one time and she was demon-possessed. And she tried to open the door and step into the church. And every time she stepped in, she'd wobble back out. She couldn't go through the door. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. She couldn't walk into the door. She hit a wall every time she tried to step in. And she just started screaming, are you going to take this city from me? Just started screaming that into the church. But she couldn't get in. She kept trying. Couldn't get out. I thought, man, that's powerful. Not very many demon-possessed people come to church, but I want you to think about something. 30 years, not nothing's happening. Now Jesus is going places, and the demons, they're not running. They're not hiding in the bar. They're not hiding in the cave. They're running up to him and saying, what will you have me do? Amen? What do you want me to do? The power of God is present. As the natural goes, so goes the spiritual. I believe that Jesus' life is a picture of what's going to happen with the body of Jesus in the earth. Everything he went through, what does the Bible say in the book of Revelation is going to happen to the saints? They're going to be killed, right? They're going to be killed. Those that aren't raptured with him are going to be killed. They're going to be destroyed. Their heads are going to be chopped off. They're going to be tormented. What happened at the end of Christ's life? He was tormented and murdered. He was killed. The same thing, I believe, for the life of the body of Christ in the earth started from the time Jesus left to the time that he comes back. And the life of that body, you can see in the body of Jesus if you read his life. And so here's what I'm saying. I believe in the last days that the body of Christ is going to break out into miracles. I believe there's going to be a time of testing, if it's not already happening. There's going to be a great trial and testing, and then there's going to be a breakout of the supernatural. A breakout of the supernatural. And I believe so crazily, I don't even know if I want to mention it, but I believe so crazily that the Bible says the last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, the last enemy to be overcome is what? Death. And the Bible said Jesus is seated at the right hand of power expecting. Somebody say expecting. Expecting. He's waiting. He's expecting for what? All of his enemies to be made his footstool, because here's why he's waiting. He has forever perfected them that are sanctified in him. He's already done it. So he's expecting us to overcome all the power of the enemy. And the last enemy that will bow his knees is death. How many knows the body of Christ has a long ways to go from what we see right now to overcoming death itself, to seeing people raised from the dead, to seeing these kinds of miracles happening? But you know what? Jesus went for 30 years without seeing any of this. And boom! Somebody say, suddenly. What's your acronym for Jesus? Just expect. Sudden, unexpected surprises. Come on, was that right? Unexplainable. Just expect that. Now think of Jesus. J, just, E, expect. Sudden, unexplainable surprises. At the end of Jesus' life, bam, it was happening instantly. It was not a gradual thing. Matter of fact, when he came out of the wilderness after fasting and praying for 40 days, he got up and he began to read out of the book of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach good news." Right away. This had never happened before. Never. Right away. And the Bible said, as was his custom. Do you know that Jesus was customarily reading in the temple? Listen to this now, because I've been really disappointed sometimes when I preach and not every devil that comes out. I've been disappointed when I'm serious, man. If I don't see somebody healed, I was praying tonight while we're in this room with just a few people. There's people here that needs delivered, Lord. I said, God, show me things. Show me things. Amen. I'm disappointed if heaven doesn't fall in the room. Amen. I'd be disappointed if I was walking in Laos and the monk didn't get hit by the power of God when I walked by. I mean, I'm disappointed. I want to see things. I want to remind you of something. Jesus had a custom to read the word in the temple, in the synagogues. It was his custom. He would read the word. I don't know how many years this went on, but he's 30 years old now. He was already discussing things with the priests and people when he was 12? When they left him in the city when he was 12, he was already sitting in there discussing the word of God with them. So do you know that Jesus had a regular custom to get up and read the word of God in the temple, and nothing ever happened when he read it? This is amazing to me. Jesus himself, nothing was happening when he read it. But there came a season, there came a time, there came a day when Jesus was called into the wilderness, prepared for 40 days, and he went back, and as was his custom, he opened up the Bible and he began to read. Now something was different. Something had changed. Something had shifted. We're talking about the Son of God, man. We're not talking about a dude that gets anointed. Amen? We're talking about the Son of God. We're not talking about a calling on a young fella. You know, we're talking about the one. And he gets up and now something has changed. It's the end of his life now. He's been through all these things. The Bible said he learned obedience to the things he suffered. And he went through all kinds of things, I'm sure, throughout his life. He's learning. He's growing in stature and in wisdom with God and with man. And now he's 30 years old. And he stands up in the temple and he begins to read as he had done many times before. And some demon begins to cry out, "Whoa, we know who you are!" He said, "Shut up and come out of him!" Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Glory to God. And the devil obeyed him. Listen to this. Jesus went from a young man who would read in the temple and nothing would happen to someone who had so much power that when he came on the shore, demons came and found him. They said, I would rather go to him first than him find me. Amen? I mean, this is something that this guy ran up to him and said, listen, please, let us go in the pigs. He said, go ahead. And I like that. Just, amen, go ahead. Amen. How many of y'all like, if you walked into town, all the demon-possessed people start coming up, what would you have me do? Go sit down over there and be quiet. And can we go over there in the pigs? Yeah, you get in the pigs, but don't disturb my service in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, this is powerful, man. Jesus walking around, people are getting, he walks down the road. Now listen, all his life, nothing had been happening. He walks down the road, there's a funeral procession going down the road. Someone say, all his life, nothing was happening. Now, all of a sudden, he's walking down the road, and there's a funeral procession. And he sees this mom just crying, and her young boy died. He said, ah, stop that crying. Get out of the casket. Amen. Get that boy up. Raise him from the dead. Said, here's your son. Have a good day. Amen. Leaves. Amen. Now, this is powerful because nothing's happening all the way to this point. Now, let me get back to my scripture. The Bible said, in the last days, the knowledge will increase in the world. Look at it with me. Verse number 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Somebody say, knowledge shall be increased. I always thought for years that was secular knowledge, and I do believe it is. It's natural knowledge, but where natural knowledge is increasing, it is a picture that spiritual knowledge is about to be increased in the earth in a vast way. How many knows we are so drastically advanced compared to where we were 15 years ago? I think 15 years. When did the internet come out? About 15 years? 15 to 20. It might have come out 20, but nobody knew about it. I met my wife in 2000 and, 99. 98, something like that. We got married in 2000. I met my wife right around in there somewhere. I'd never even been on the internet. And I was pretty savvy. You know, I was in the military, did everything. And nobody had internet back then. Just a few people started having internet. And it was all AOL. And it was all dial-up stuff, man. I mean, if you had some kind of high-speed thing, you were it. But, man, I remember we'd sit there and get on the internet and watch that little bar go up for 20 minutes and finally get a page information up. And we really thought we got something. Amen. Nowadays, you put dial-up in my house, I'll shoot it with a shotgun. I mean, I can't stand it. I got to have it fast. Amen. I'm about to trade my phone in because it's one half of a megabyte slower than the new one. Amen. I mean, I want it right now. Amen. Knowledge has increased all over the world. Everything we have has come within the last 100 years. And man, as we know it, in this particular time, I'm not going to argue over Genesis and how long the particular earth's been here, but man, as we know it, in this particular time, has been here about 6,000 some odd years. 6,000 some odd years. For thousands of years, nothing was happening. And then, boom, over the last 100 years, everything we know of, airplanes, telephones, everything, electricity, all of it, has come within just about the last century. And now, in these last 15 years or 10 years, it is exponentially increasing. Exponentially increasing. Let me show you something in Ephesians chapter 4. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I don't even know if I'll get to my message I want to get to today, but I know God's going to talk to us. Ephesians chapter 4. I believe, let me just be very plain, I believe we're going to enter into a time in the last days where the body of Christ, which includes you and I if we are in Christ, our knowledge will exponentially increase immediately. It's not going to be a gradual thing. It's going to be suddenly. And when the knowledge comes, it's going to hit the whole body. It's going to hit the whole body. It's not just going to be a little pocket of people over here. It's going to hit the whole body. Amen? Matter of fact, recently, The knowledge about the grace of God is beginning to be released. The knowledge about the grace of God. I used to talk about that. Man, God told me that 1995, he began to reveal some things to me, and I was talking about that, and people looked at me like I was crazy. And now you turn the TV on, and almost every preacher's preaching it. I saw Creflo Dollar the other day. Every time I ever used to watch Creflo, he was talking about being blessed, you know, financially. Creflo's preaching series on the grace of God. He sounds just like Joseph Prince. He's preaching series on the grace of God. Joseph Prince now is all over everywhere. Every TV. And there's a lot of religious Christians out there going, it's the devil's deception. No, it's not the devil, and it's not deception. It is a revealing of the knowledge of God in the last days. Now, is that knowledge complete yet? I would say no. Is Joseph Prince's knowledge complete? I would say no. If it was complete, the dead would be being raised, and demons would be coming out of people in his congregation. It's not complete yet, but God is beginning to open up the caverns of the deep, so to speak, open up the deep things of the Lord to understand things that men have not been able to see before. He's going to open up the hearts and minds of the body of Christ, and when he does, the miracles of God are going to begin to happen in the earth. Amen? Don't you want to be ready for this in Laos? Man, I want to be ready for this. It's happening right now. I was looking on TV the other day. I was like, man, because this revelation of the grace of God, few have had it in the past. I remember talking to Brother King, the guy, he would come to minister. Some of y'all know who he is. And there was a man in Africa years ago. He got a revelation about the grace of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And he started flowing in that grace. He said, man, the guy was so overtaken with the revelation of God's grace. He would just walk up to people. It was happening all the time. He'd walk up to people in wheelchairs. He said paraplegics. They had it. Many of them saw it. Walk up to people and say, by the grace of God, be healed. And he'd just pick them up. He wasn't trying to have faith. He wasn't trying to make something happen. He didn't even get anointing oil and throw it on them or kick them or nothing. Amen. He just, by the grace of God, get up. And people were getting up simply from a revelation of God's grace. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit. Salvation, deliverance, healing, wholeness is not come from a work of man. It is the gift of God. Can somebody say amen? For we are saved, which means delivered, healed, set free. If you really want to use the right word that they would have used at that time, they would use the word healed. And when, if you look it up, sozo, the word that they would use in ancient culture was sozo, was not saved. We come up with that word. And matter of fact, we've made it the doctrine. If we didn't know about the doctrine of being saved, nobody would even know what you're talking about. Have you been saved? You know, saved from what? You know, they would say healed. Healed. We are healed, delivered, set free. Sozo. We are healed by grace through faith. This is not from you, the faith or the grace. This is not of you. It is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. But why aren't we seeing the deliverance? Why aren't we seeing the healing? Why aren't we seeing the freedom? We're not seeing it because we don't know yet and we don't understand yet, but there's coming a great increase in knowledge, as Daniel says. Now look in Ephesians chapter 4 with me, and I want to show you something extremely powerful. Ephesians chapter 4. I was preaching this years ago, and I thought I was crazy. I even quit preaching it. I didn't think it was wrong. It just was too much for me to handle. Man, I'm just being honest with you. I preach that and I said, I can't even preach. I remember the day I preached at the, I ain't going to go into all that. I was in a certain denomination and none of the district officials ever showed up in our church, ever. And God gave me this radical message on the body of Christ is going to even overcome death. And the knowledge of God is going to increase. And that morning, a district official showed up. I preached like a lion and gave him the tape. Amen. In Jesus' name. I was ready to get kicked out. But anyway, okay, let's keep. Look in verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11. I'm telling you, man, God's about to reveal some things that are going to make your toes cringe or whatever they do. What do they do? Yeah, curl. Amen. Hallelujah. Cringing, curling, whatever. You're going to have some messed up toes. Look at it. Verse 11. He gave some. Now what happened? Look, verse 10. Jesus, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all. Somebody say all. He went far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Why did he go up there? So that he could fill all things. Y'all see that? When he went, what did he do? He gave gifts to men. Verse 11. He gave some apostles. To some people he gave prophets. To others he gave evangelists. To some he gave pastors, and some he gave teachers. These are all ministry gifts. These are ministers sent by God to do what? Look in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until, verse 13 is the most important, until, watch it, stop right there for just a second. When Jesus went up, he went up to fill all things, right? He went up to fill all things. The whole idea that Jesus has went into heaven and he's just sitting there until the right time on the clock click ticks and then he's going to just come get us out of all this miserable mess. He did not go up there to wait on the right time. He went up there and to fill all things. And when he went, when he ascended, he sent down apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Until, somebody say until. Until what? Look at it, verse 13. Until we all, somebody say all. I love it. Until all of us. Can I get excited? Is that okay? Yes. Somebody invited somebody last week and said I scared them. I don't mean to. Hey, man, I don't think this fellow would be scared. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to get excited, man. I'm excited. Look at this. Until all of us. Aren't you glad he didn't say until the assemblies of God? Yeah. Until the Baptist. You know what? When Jesus shows up, he's going to settle all this nonsense. Yeah. And the Bible said all of us. All of us. The fivefold ministry was called until all of us. Now, all of those who aren't stubborn religious knuckleheads, because we do have some stubborn religious knuckleheads in the world that are stuck on their denomination and stuck on their religion. But I'll tell you what, there's people in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches that are hungry for the real thing, and they're just waiting on God to show up. Amen? They want God. They don't care what package it comes in. They want God. They don't want to argue over how it's going to be. They want God. And then there's others in every denomination, in every one of them, that are staunch, you know, stuck on their way and prideful, and they've got all the right answers, and God's going to pass them up. But there's a people out there that are hungry, and all of the true body, all of those that are hungry, all of those that want God in their life, all of them, the fivefold was called until all of us come, look in verse 13, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until, listen, the fivefold ministry will no longer be needed when we all come into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God. Y'all see that? The fivefold ministry will no longer be needed. Death will no longer be able to stand against us. The power of hell will no longer be able to stand against us. When what happens? When we come into unity of the faith of the Son of God, not our faith, His faith, and we come into the unity of His knowledge, then nothing will be able to stand against us anymore. And the Bible said the fivefold ministry was called until. Somebody say until. Does your Bible say that? King James uses the word T-I-L-L. That is modern until. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever version you got, it says something like that, unless the devil messed with it. Amen? And tell him to get out of your version. Amen, in Jesus' name. Until. Hallelujah. Until. God said until. He didn't say until the rapture. He didn't say until the final day. He didn't say until the time God says, Gabriel, blow your horn. Amen. We've sung that. I like that song. But it's not about Gabriel blowing his horn. Amen. It's about when he blows that horn is when the body of Christ gets a clue. Amen. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Amen. When the body gets a clue and begins to walk in the knowledge of God, we'll see the glory of God in the earth. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a short period of time, and then whoop, we're gone. Amen. Did I say something wrong? Amen. Gabriel, was it Gabriel? Who blows the horn? Y'all start laughing about Gabriel. Okay, let's move on. Verse 13. Until we all come... I'm glad you're feeling better. Look at that. See what God will do for you? Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. You know, Christians are walking around, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. You know, Jesus, the Bible said the fivefold ministry was given until we come into the perfect man. Look at this. The perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many knows Jesus was not walking around the earth going, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. How many knows he wasn't doing that? Do you think he expects his body to have that kind of cop-out? Even if we're not perfect, we need to be crying out, He has perfected us, and we're going to see the manifestation of our perfection soon. Can somebody say amen? He's expecting our enemies to be made our footstool because He has forever perfected them that are sanctified. The problem is we don't know He's perfected us. We don't know it's done. We don't know it's finished, so we're not believing that, not confessing that, not walking in that. My King of Kings, have mercy. May the Lord God Almighty open up knowledge in these last days and open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear. There's sometimes the Lord will hit me with such a revelation. There's no demon. There's no sickness. Sometimes in the mission field, I'll be preaching, and some services it's not there like that. And then others, just he'll open me up to a word. He'll speak something to me that no sickness can stand before me. No devil can stand before me. Why? Because it's just a revelation from God, and the devil trembles at that truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, man. It'll break chains. It'll break yokes. Amen? It's the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. Amen? The truth of God is going to be revealed in these last days. Let me hit just, what time is it? Amen. It's time to hit some more. What time we get out of here? Not something like that. Man, how'd it be 8:30 already? We started at 8. Give me a few more minutes and we'll stop about 9. Look with me in Romans chapter 4. I really want to get this on tape. I'm finally taping some of this tonight. I want to get this on tape. We've been ministering this for weeks. I don't know really where I want to go. I just want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us right now. But what I want to minister to you, whether I even get to that scripture you're turning to or not, but turn just in case. What I want to minister to you right now is the gospel. A lot of people think when you talk about God revealing knowledge, it's some kind of deep, hidden thing. It's just the gospel. Men do not understand the gospel. They don't know what the gospel is. They're going all over the world preaching what they think is the gospel, and it's not the gospel. What is the gospel not? The gospel is not, how do I say it? My English is messed up. What the gospel is not, the gospel is not Jesus died so you can get to heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus died so you can get to heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus died so you can be seated at the right hand of power. That's the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus came and carried your sin. The gospel is Jesus came and became your sin, so that you can become his righteousness by a creative work of God. That is the gospel, and people aren't preaching that. They don't tell people, listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you so you could sit at the right hand of God above all power. That's not what people are preaching. And even if they do mention that, they say, when we die. In the by and by, when we die, amen, we shall see him, you know, whatever it is. I'm mixing up some songs there, but they're, you know what I'm talking about? It's like everybody's sitting around broke, messed up, beat up by the devil, talking about in the by and by. It's complete nonsense. Jesus did not die for the great by and by. That rhymes. You can write that down. Jesus died for the die. Well, that don't rhyme. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. He died for the great by and by. No, he died for the here and now. He came down and took your bondage and became your bondage so that you can become his righteousness. How does that happen? It's a creative act of God. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be like Abraham. Listen, Abraham didn't raise the dead. Jesus didn't say, these things I've done, you'll do like Abraham. No, he said, you're going to do what I did. When did Abraham raise the dead? When did Abraham cast out devils? Amen? When did Abraham look up and say, thank you, and fed 5,000 people? Never. He never did anything like that. Abraham did not become the righteousness of God. He was only reckoning the, what's the word used? He was considered righteous because of his faith, but he wasn't made the righteousness of God. Look with me something real quick. Look in 2 Corinthians. I said Romans, didn't I? 2 Corinthians 5. The gospel, what is the gospel? In the last days, the gospel is going to be preached. The gospel. The gospel, you know what they preached in the book of Acts? I went and did a study. They preached the forgiveness of sins. Somebody say the forgiveness of sins. That's what they preached. That was their message, the forgiveness of sins. You know, what does that mean? They went and told people, your sins have been forgiven. Somebody said, no, how many's ever heard that preached? Pastor, get up and preach, your sins are forgiven. No, We say, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, then God will forgive you. If you repent, if you go to the altar, if you live right, if you do this, God will forgive you. Listen, they didn't go out and tell the world, you need to do this and this and this. They said, your sins are forgiven. And then the people that were touched with their sins are forgiven, they came and said, what must we do? He said, come to God and you'll receive the promise of the Father. The power of the Holy Spirit will come and live in you. That was the gospel. Your sins have been removed from you. Amen? They've been nailed to a cross. This is the beginning of the gospel. Your sins have been taken care of. You know what intimidates me more than anything else when I go into the world and preach the gospel? Is the sin of the people. It intimidates me. What do you mean by that? It intimidates me. I want people to be healed. But when I go up to them and I smell their cigarette, you know, and I see the lust in their eye, and I see the bondage in their life, I'm intimidated. I don't feel like I can pray for them. Why? Because I don't think they're going to be healed. Does that make sense to you? I don't think they're going to be healed. Why? Because they're in bondage. They're in sin. So I'm thinking they're not going to be healed. Because here's what we teach today. Your sin, you know, sin is what causes sickness and disease. Is that right? It is right. Sin is what causes sickness and disease. Let me ask you, which person Jesus healed repented first? Which person repented first? Name one. Which person repented before Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you? None of them. Matter of fact, remember the man they let down in the roof? And his friends, the Bible didn't even say he had faith. His friends were believing for him to be healed. And he looks up there into a hole in the roof. He said, man, you guys are serious. And he looks down and he says, man, your sins are forgiven. He hadn't even been healed yet. He said, your sin, the man didn't say, please forgive me. The man didn't say, I'm a sinner. He didn't say nothing. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Does that mean everybody's going to heaven? No. That's not what I'm preaching, but everybody's sin has been taken care of. Everybody's sin has been provided for. Everybody's has. And when you understand that, you can see the glory of God. It won't intimidate you to see somebody bound. You don't even have to get free to be healed yet. You can get healed and then get free. Now, if you get healed and you don't get free, how many knows you're probably going to go out there and get sick again? Amen? You're going to go out there and get sick again. But you don't have to qualify to be healed. That's so awesome to me. Why? Because Jesus has paid the price. When the apostles went into places, they preached the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible said everybody on the entire island was healed. Y'all remember that? Paul preached the gospel and everybody got healed. How many knows very few of them repented? What does the Bible say Jesus did with the towns that saw the most miracles? He came and he rebuked them because they did not repent. They did not repent. He came and he said, listen, I forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. Healed their sicknesses and healed their diseases. And it didn't cause them to come to him to receive more. It didn't cause them to change the way they were thinking. And they went back into their bondages. The gospel is your sins have been forgiven you. And the promise of the Father is to all who will come and believe. And that is the Holy Spirit will come in and make you a new creation. The Holy Spirit will change everything about you. The Holy Spirit will live his life through you. And listen, here's the gospel. Let me sum it up for you. Jesus came and took your place so that you could go and take his. This is Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. The Bible said that when he went up, he raised us up with him. Y'all listening? Where were we before he came down? In bondage and in chains and in sin, right? He came down and he became our bondage. He became our sin so that he could raise us up and sit us with him. But that's not what's being preached. People aren't preaching Jesus died for you so you could right now sit at the right hand of God and have power over every devil and every disease and everything in this earth. Right now. Somebody say right now. Right. That's why he died. That's why he died. But people are intimidated with that kind of thing. People are intimidated with that kind of thing. Even say it's crazy. Amen. And don't understand it. Don't understand it. I'm so glad the Bible said all will be brought into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God by the fivefold ministry in the last days. Can somebody say amen? I believe it's going to take place. God has a plan to bring us full circle where we need to be. And the last 3 years of our life, or if you match it with Jesus' life, we've been here for a couple thousand years. It may be 3 days for us. It may be 30 days. It may just be a short period of time when the body really gets the fullness of knowledge. Listen, we could not stay here with the fullness of the knowledge of God. The devil couldn't do anything. Amen. He couldn't do anything if we stayed here. But people are going to reject us just like they did Jesus, even when the dead are being raised. Even when the dead, don't you think, haven't you ever heard somebody say, if I could see the dead raised, then I believe. You know that's a lie. You know that's a lie. You know when that woman got up out of that wheelchair in Mobile and they put it on Facebook, on YouTube, and those people were actually on there saying, well, you know, she might have been faking it, or this might have been a natural a mirror. It might have been. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens, friend. You can dig under the ground, get bones out, put skin on them, and raise it from the dead, and people will still say, well, you know. I mean, listen, when the body of Christ begins to operate in the fullness of where they need to be, it doesn't mean the world's going to run to church and repent. Many people are going to be healed. Whole cities will be healed. Whole cities. It doesn't mean they're going to get saved, but entire cities will be healed. The devil can't do nothing. Amen. The sinners come and get healed. Amen. The devil can't do anything. But the people are still rebelling against God. When the body enters into its fullness, there'll be a season, man. All over the world, the body of Christ will see the fullness of Jesus Christ. And then, we're out of here, man. Even death itself, when we begin to understand. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that the gospel is that Jesus took the curse for you and I? How many knows that? He became a curse so that we could become his righteousness. Have y'all read that before? Do you know that that's it? Let me tell you where it's at. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Look at it with me. Galatians. Did we ever read 2 Corinthians? Okay, that's all right. I'll read it while you're turning. Amen. For God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made into the righteousness of God in him. He made him become sin that we could become righteousness. Powerful. Don't have time to get into that. Let's hit this curse thing for a few minutes. Galatians 3:13. Christ has. Somebody say has. Do you believe this or not? Do y'all believe the Bible? Come on, help me. Do y'all believe Christ has redeemed us from the curse? He has. Somebody say he has. What is part of the curse? Tell me some things. What's in the curse? Huh? Sickness? What else? Pain? What's the final stage? Death. What was the curse? Don't eat that or you will. You'll die. Now he's either redeemed us or he hasn't. Has he redeemed us from the curse? Some say, yes, Brother Jeff, but it's appointed that the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. We've all got to keep those two appointments. How many's ever heard that before? I'm laughing because it's so crazy. You know what that actually says? I'm trying to remember if it's in Hebrews 9, somewhere around there. It says, it is appointed unto man. Watch this. Y'all don't want to miss this. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Therefore, he died once. The whole scripture has nothing to do with two appointments we've got to keep. The whole scripture is about Jesus only had to die one time because that was what was appointed to man because he sinned. Jesus didn't have to die two times. Go back and read it. It's in Hebrews. The whole chapter is about that. Jesus only had to die once. Because sin only required one dying. Amen? He didn't have to die two or three times. He didn't have to. It even talks about animals. They had to be killed year after year after year. But Jesus only had to die once because it was appointed to man to die, and after that, the judgment. So Jesus died once. Therefore, he died once. Whose place did he die in? Come on now. It's not complicated. He died in our place. Why? So that we don't have to die. We've got more faith in death than we've got in life. We've got more faith in death than we've got in life. You know what? A lot of people, they'll start believing for a while, especially when they're young, that healing is in the cross. It's in the atonement. What does atonement mean? He atoned for our sins. What's that mean? He paid for them, right? He bore the curse. Look at it with me again. This is not complicated. This is not anything crazy. It's not even deep. It's surface. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. He was made into a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. What is the curse? It is death. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 15, what's the last enemy to be overcome that will be slid under his feet?
Death.
You know, a lot of people are saying they know who the two witnesses are. That is nonsense. You know why they say that? Because everybody has to die. I mean, y'all heard that before? I mean, they're just waiting on everybody to die. Amen? And here's what I was talking about. I don't want to lose my train of thought. Some young people can believe for healing. But as we get older, you got to die of something. Amen? I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about? This is what young people look at me like, what are you talking about? Just give it a few years. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Some older people would tell you, that's the thoughts that start coming in your mind. And those are the comments you start hearing. Well, we all got to die of something. Amen. You can't be healed every time because you got to die of something. Amen. Now, did he redeem us from the curse or did he not? He did. He redeemed us from the curse. Let me ask you a question. If the two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah because they didn't die. Y'all heard that before? God said, y'all got to keep your appointment, guys. Get back down there and die. Let me ask you a question. If those two men are forced to come keep their appointment, what is he going to do with a whole generation of believers who are raptured and don't see death? Are we going to have to come back in the millennial reign and all die? You ever thought about that? A whole generation of people are raptured. The Bible said, we will not see death. We shall be caught up to meet him in the air and become like him. Amen? But when we get there, he goes, oh, y'all missed your appointment. Can y'all see that? Guys, I've got bad news. The rapture was real. It was true. You're here. But you missed your appointment. And then you got to go back and die. Can you imagine that? You're like, oh, man. Dog. Man, this ain't right. You know? I mean, man, we got to go back and die. Man. Well, if Enoch has to do it, bless God, you've got to do it. You know, and if Elijah's got to do it, bless God, you've got to do it. I don't think the two witnesses have anything to do with Enoch and Elijah at all. I think they're modern-day witnesses that God has sent, that God has called, that God's going to raise up, and they're going to demonstrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in front of the whole world. They're going to lay there for 4 days and then be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven. Amen? Or 3.5, whatever it is. They're going to lay there and then ascend into heaven. It's going to be the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't have to die. You know, and sometimes, man, I get so, this is so awesome to me, that I'm like, I'm not going to die. Amen? Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to proclaim here that I'm going to have the perfect faith. And I do believe that generation, I want to be a part of it. And I believe it's coming. And I don't believe we have to die. And I believe before the whole body goes, this is just the thoughts I have because of what I've studied. I believe before the whole body goes, some individuals are going to go. I believe that some individuals are going to go. Enoch walked with God, was no more. Lord took him. Elijah, he didn't die. He went up in a chariot. Somebody says, bless God, those are the only two people. Because that's all that's in the Bible. How many knows there's a lot of things that aren't in this Bible? The Bible said if the things that Jesus did were written in books, the world couldn't contain the books. You only have a few stories here of what has taken place. The Bible did not tell us about Enoch and Elijah because those are the only two men that God would ever keep from death. It was just a picture of somebody walking with God and they didn't have to die. Amen? That's awesome, man. What was different about Enoch and you and I? Enoch was an old covenant believer. He didn't even, you know, he couldn't even go to heaven. A lot of people think Enoch went up to heaven. Jesus came and said, no one has entered into heaven except for the one who came down from heaven. None. Where did they go when they died before he paid the price? Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go into heaven. Enoch wasn't even spirit-filled. He wasn't even spirit-filled. You know, talking about, oh, Enoch, he was a mighty man. He walked with God and was no more. Listen, the glory of the Old Testament is pale in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed in the New Testament. If you think smoke filling a building and people can't walk in, if you think that's awesome, you wait and see what's going to happen in the last days with the body of Christ. Amen? You wait till you see greater things than these. You know, I know I used to just think people were acting stupid and getting excited, but I'm convinced now some people are going to be so full of God, they'll walk through the graveyard and graves will begin to bust open. Graves begin to bust. Somebody say greater things than these.
Greater things.
How can you get greater than what Jesus did? To me, that's greater. Amen. If you walk into a tomb, amen, you're walking through a graveyard and dead people are getting up. How many knows what happened when Jesus died and left that cross? You know, the Bible said many old saints came back to life. You know, whenever he left out his body, more happened than when he was in it. Many dead saints came back to life, amen, and began to walk around town. Wouldn't that have been an interesting day? Grandma, hadn't seen you in a long time, amen. I mean, that'd be interesting. If this happened with Jesus, now y'all get this? If this happened with Jesus, many dead, somebody say many. Is that the Bible or not? The Bible said it. Many dead saints were raised from the dead and began to come into town, walk around town. Amen. But greater things than Jesus did are going to happen. Why? Not because of a denomination or because of a stirring anything up or because of a new sound in the earth or any of that. I do believe God's sending new sounds of worship, and I believe heaven, the sounds of heaven are going to come to the earth. Amen. I believe God's looking for worshipers. You know how I believe he's going to raise the dead in the last days? David's. I believe David's are going to raise the dead. Not if your name's David. I hope you do too, brother. But I'm talking about like King David, who had a heart of worship, a heart for the presence of God. It's the presence of God. When you take the presence of God and kiss it with the full revelation of what Jesus has accomplished, my God, my King, there's nothing, nothing impossible. Amen? Let's pray for a generation. Let's pray for God to open up our eyes, open up our ears, and bring us into the fullness of his knowledge, the fullness of his understanding, so we can begin to see what Jesus saw and more. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the kind of faith I believe when you begin to understand that, you'll get frustrated with it not happening. That's what happened to Smith Wigglesworth. He just started kicking people. Amen? Why? Because he's like, man, if the Bible said it, bless God. He took a crippled boy on the platform and kicked him like a football. Now, this is in a revival meeting. Friend, this wasn't in a closed door. It wasn't in a closet. It's written in books, history books. Smith Wigglesworth kicked the crippled boy, bam, like a football. And he was on a platform, and the boy flew off and in the air and several feet. And when the person caught him down on the floor, he was completely healed. Completely healed. And his body was maimed and crippled, and he kicked him. Bam! Kicked him off the platform. You talk about... that's some faith, buddy. I'm not... Come on, y'all. I want to pray for you right now. Yeah. Amen. If I get any ornery saints, I'm having a prayer line. Amen. Woo-hoo! Glory to Jesus. I'll get you healed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good idea. He took this one woman, came, and y'all know... I'm colorblind, but you know cultures are cultures, so I'm just going to say it like it is. He said a black woman came, and he smacked her in the mouth. You don't smack a black woman. Amen? You might smack a white woman, but you don't smack a black woman, because somebody say amen. He smacked that black woman, pow! And she looked at him, smacked him back. Amen? She said, that's how it's going to be. Pow! Smacked him back. Left, and he just kept praying for people. His face all red. He just kept praying for other people. She came back the next service weeping and crying and fell down on her knees and began to say, God completely and totally healed me when you slapped me in the face. Listen, I'm not saying we need to go slap people. I never saw Jesus slap nobody in the face. I'm not suggesting. I'm just telling you what happened in one man's life who began to believe what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. If that happened in one man, what's going to happen when the body begins to believe? What's going to happen when the people that see him kick a cripple say, I'm going to kick me one too. Amen? And the body of Christ just begins, amen. Let's all go kick cripples this weekend. But he said, I'm going to kick me one. Amen. And people start, I'm not suggesting you go kick one. You better have some faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Then crack. Oh, it didn't work. You better run. Hallelujah. But anyway, he kicked him and it worked. You know, amen. It wasn't just something he woke up one day and said, I'm going to kick me a cripple. You know, it was God moving. God moved. He's smacking people, kicking people, hitting people, knocking people down. People were getting healed. He'd pray for them, they didn't get healed. So he'd smack them. Amen. I mean, bless God, you're going to get healed if I pray for you. Amen. And we just, you know, cower down. He wouldn't take no for an answer. There's coming a day. My God, I know there's coming a day that this is going to begin to be, not kicking people, but it's the faith. It is funny, but it happened. You know, so hey. But anyway... we're going to get the kick a cripple anointing. Amen. We'll go in the world and kick them. Amen. But that's the only time I've ever heard of that happening. That was a violent faith, man. He got tired. He couldn't. I'm not going to take no for an answer. Amen. His wife tried to die 3 times. He raised her from the dead, picked her up, slammed her up against the wall, raised her from the dead. She finally says, Smith, let me die. She wanted to go. She said, I want to be with Jesus. She said, I saw him and you pulled me out again. He said, I want to be with Jesus. He said, okay, die. You know, amen? Let her go be with Jesus. Amen. Powerful. And if you ever heard Smith Wigglesworth, he wasn't a wild preacher. Man, he was deep. You know, he preached faith. He just preached the word. He wasn't what you would think. Somebody kicking a cripple, you'd think he'd be up there, ah, in Jesus' name! You know, he didn't do none of that. You know, he just got up and Jesus, he preached the gospel. He preached the truth. He paid for our sins. He removed them. He's healed our bodies on the cross. Never take no for an answer. And he just prayed for people, man, and get it done. Amen? I don't believe God wants to raise up one man. Not according to what I read. I believe God wants the entire body.
Yes.
Somebody say all.
Oh.
I want the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and maybe even some Catholics. Amen? Hallelujah. Get them all filled with the Holy Ghost. Get them all full of life. And you know what? They're not going to be majoring on speaking in tongues. They're not going to be walking around and go, do you speak in tongues? No, do you speak in tongues? No. That's going to be the last thing on people's minds. Amen? If God wants you to speak in tongues, bless God, when His Spirit fills you, you'll speak in tongues. Amen? If we major on minors, and that is a minor, it's a personal edification gift. It's fine. I love it. I do believe it's a manifestation of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But this is what denominations are fighting over. Silly stuff like that. You won't have to worry about that when God begins to move in the earth. Because somebody say amen. We're fighting and arguing and bickering over the dumbest things. God, raise up a Holy Ghost. My God. Raise up some people. Listen, you're just preaching, but he's acting crazy. Man, I've seen some miracles. I've seen lots of miracles. If you've been to our church for long, you've heard of lots of testimonies. I've given a few since y'all been here. I've seen tremendous miracles. I pray for people that this one lady had open bleeding wounds on her body. My wife will tell you about it. The preacher came and found us and said, man, that woman has been bleeding for years. Reminded me of the story in the Bible. And she went to the doctors and no one could get that to stop. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. I knew a guy had that on his ankle. But remember that preacher used to come? It wouldn't open. His wound wouldn't close. And this woman's wound wouldn't close no matter what she did. And she said, preacher, have them pray for me. There was probably a couple hundred people there that night. And he forgot about it. He said, I come off the platform after preaching and I went to the left. And he said, I stopped. I turned. He said, I went right to that woman. He said, that's the first woman I went to. I just prayed for her. I didn't even know she was sick. Just prayed for her. She laid on the ground. I don't know. She took a nap or something. She got up and went to the bathroom and pulled up her clothes, and it was completely gone. She had brand new skin. The pastor hunted, came running after us. Man, look what happened. Look what happened. I said, hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I didn't know about it. I might have been intimidated. Look at that! Glory to God! Oh, Jesus! Amen! Hallelujah! I wouldn't know what to do with that. Amen! Hallelujah! But God did it! Amen! I was preaching the gospel, the real thing! Amen! Demons start coming out. Sicknesses get healed. Amen! You're forgiven! I got up preaching Brazil. You're forgiven! Even some of the pastors looked at me funny. Until about the second or third day, they began to see it. My God, we're forgiven! Amen. We're forgiven. We're forgiven so much we can come and receive life. Amen. We can go walk in death if we want to, but we're forgiven enough to be healed right now before we do anything else. Right now. We're forgiven enough to be healed, set free, made whole, and delivered. All we got to do is come to Jesus. That's all we got to do is come to Jesus. Amen. We're hearing the wrong message these days, but God's about to open up the caverns of the deep of His knowledge and bring life and bring healing to people. Amen. Bring healing to people. Praise God. And miracles are going to begin to happen. And here's the thing. When I was a young man in Christ, I wanted to see miracles because I wanted to be great. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We all want God to use us. God's got to get us past that nonsense because it ain't about us. I want God to use the body. I want God to use Heather. Amen. Hallelujah. I want Michael to kick a cripple. No, just kidding. Because I definitely don't want to do it. No, I'm just kidding. I want God to use Michael. I want to get to a place where we're not jealous of one another.
Amen.
We realize we're all in one body. And let the body... Can you imagine 3,000 Jesuses in one city? Can you imagine that? One Jesus. Everybody in the city was healed. What are you going to do with 3,000 Jesuses? 3,000. 5,000. 10,000. How many Jesuses can walk in the world at one time? I'm closing. Amen. Can you imagine this? One Jesus, entire cities, everybody who touched him was healed. Everybody. The press was so intense people trying to get to him and touch him. What would it be like if all the body had that life flowing in them? My God, what a strange phenomenon that will be. The world will never be able to deny it. The world says, show me a sign. They'll see it. Jesus was healing all over the place and they're still screaming, show me a sign. My God. Let's pray tonight. I don't know how to finish that. Amen. All I know is I'm excited. I want to be part of it. Don't y'all? I want to be part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. I ask God that you would raise us up in the knowledge of Christ, in the faith of the Son of God. Oh God, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, forgive us for our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Change it. You've nailed it to a cross. Give us your faith. Your faith, the faith of the Son of God. We struggle over such little things, and oh God, we've got the kingdom. We've got the whole thing. We've got all authority and all power. We're seated far above every devil, far above every power of hell, far above every problem. Lord, we're seated far above. And Lord Jesus, I pray you'd open our eyes to this and raise up a generation. Raise up a generation that will believe and see what you've accomplished and what you've done. Release the faith of the Son of God into the earth. Release the faith of the Son of God into your people. And bring us into the fullness of your knowledge and the fullness of your faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask it. In Him and Him alone. Could somebody say a good amen tonight? Amen. Now, hallelujah. God bless you. And good to have everybody here tonight. Praise the Lord. And if you're visiting like Justin, don't think I'm crazy. Come back and I'll be more sober next time, maybe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, my King, God of heaven and earth. Man, that was a whole hour. How do I stop this thing?